Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Alice Bryant, and Jill Robbins. Later, Phil Dierking will have this week's education report. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
A suicide bomber killed at least 22 people in an attack at a concert in the northern English city of Manchester. More than 50 others were injured. The attack happened Monday night at Manchester Arena at the end of a performance by American pop star Ariana Grande. The explosion sent people scrambling to get out of the arena, which can hold up to 21,000 people. British police identified the attacker as 22-year-old Salman Abidi. They said he was killed in the explosion. Abidi was reportedly a British citizen whose parents came from Libya. The Islamic State group claimed responsibility, saying one of its members carried out the attack. But United States and British officials could not confirm the claim. The Islamic State said an attacker had prepared several bombs, but Manchester police said they believed only one bomber had used an improvised explosive device in the attack. Manchester Police Chief Constable Ian Hopkins said officials were investigating whether the attacker acted alone or worked together with others. On Tuesday, police carried out raids in different parts of Manchester, including the building where the suspect lived. A 23-year-old man was arrested in connection with the attack. Police had no immediate comment on his suspected involvement. An 8-year-old girl was among those killed. An emergency medical official told the Associated Press that 12 children under the age of 16 were among the injured. Witnesses said the explosion sent bolts and other pieces of metal into the air. They said this showed the device was built to hurt and kill many. British Prime Minister Theresa May called the attack an act of sickening cowardice meant to target defenseless children and young people. May went to Manchester and visited police headquarters and a children's hospital. She and Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of Britain's Labour Party, agreed to suspend campaigning for the June 8th elections. Thousands of people gathered in the city Tuesday to remember the victims. They observed a minute of silence. Grande, who was not injured in the blast, spoke about the attack on Twitter. "Broken from the bottom of my heart. I am so, so sorry. I don't have words," she tweeted. Manchester Arena officials canceled planned shows by the pop group Take That. It was supposed to perform at the arena from Thursday through Saturday. I'm Brian Lynn.
The Prime Minister of Vietnam will become the first Southeast Asian leader to visit the White House since Donald Trump became president in January. Prime Minister Nguyen Xuân Phúc is expected to ask for answers about United States policy toward Chinese expansion in the disputed South China Sea. Nguyen is also expected to discuss trade and maritime claims in the South China Sea when he meets with Trump next week. Brunei, Malaysia, Vietnam, and the Philippines claim parts of the South China Sea. China and Taiwan claim nearly all of the sea. Former President Barack Obama helped Southeast Asian countries defend their claims to parts of the important waterway, but it is not clear whether Trump will do the same. China continues to worry Southeast Asian countries by sending Coast Guard ships into their exclusive economic zones in the 3.5 million square kilometer sea. China is also building artificial islands on which it can place radar systems and military aircraft. Last year, Obama canceled a ban on the sale of military weapons to Vietnam. In 2014, he increased joint naval exercises with the Philippines. And he ordered U.S. ships to pass through areas of the sea claimed by China. All of these actions have angered China. China uses historical records to support its claim to 95% of the sea, which is valued for its fisheries and fossil fuels. However, Trump is working with China to stop North Korea's nuclear weapons program. China is North Korea's top trade partner and supporter. Some experts say Trump may have decided that the U.S. will not become involved in any South China Sea disputes so that it can have better relations with China. China is trying to reduce American influence in Southeast Asia and the South China Sea. It has begun talking to leaders in each country in the region, including Vietnam, about ending their disputes. China sometimes offers the countries aid and investment, such as encouraging Chinese to visit Vietnam. Last week, China and a 10-member group of Southeast Asian countries reached an agreement to prevent conflicts between ships of each country. China had delayed negotiations on the agreement, which is not yet final, for more than 5 years. Brian Eiler is the Southeast Asia Program Director at the Stimson Center, a research group in Washington. The Vietnamese Prime Minister took office last year. During his visit, he is expected to remind the Trump administration about a U.S. promise to help clean up the toxic substance Agent Orange. American military forces used the plant-killing chemical during the Vietnam War from 1961 to 1972. Experts believe Nguyen also will ask administration officials about a free trade deal to replace the 12-nation Trans-Pacific Partnership. Vietnam would have gained much from the agreement, which would have lowered import taxes for its goods in many markets, including the U.S. The U.S. left the agreement in January. At the time, Trump said the U.S. would consider deals with individual countries if they were good for America. I'm Jill Robbins.
Thank you. farmers and fruit growers in the United States depend heavily on immigrants to grow and harvest their crops. Most immigrants working on American farms are Hispanic and come from Mexico or Central America. Many of them entered the United States illegally and have settled in rural communities across the country. The immigrants often raise families while working in the fields. And, just like U.S. citizens, they pay taxes. President Donald Trump has called on government agencies to increase enforcement of the nation's immigration laws. His administration's policies on illegal immigration are creating fear in the agricultural industry. The industry worries about losing the workers it needs to plant, grow, and harvest the crops that feed the country. In the eastern state of Pennsylvania, fruit farmers are concerned about the administration's immigration policies. The farmers fear they will not have enough workers to stay in business. Spring is pruning season for apple trees in Adams County, Pennsylvania. Hispanic immigrant workers care for the trees in many of the area's apple orchards. The work takes many hours and is tiring and repetitive. Kay Hollibaugh says very few Americans are willing to do this kind of work anymore. She helps supervise her family's farm and orchard in Adams County. And she worries that immigration officers will take her workers away. Some of the immigrants who work on the farms live in the town of York Springs. Almost half of the town speaks Spanish. But these days, few of the people are out on the streets in this community. They are fearful because of recent arrests by immigration officers. Arturo, a Spanish speaker, lives in York Springs. He says that things were different before. People felt more at ease. People would go out and walk around. They weren't afraid. Today, it's very different. People are in hiding, he said. Most of the people have left town. They've returned to their countries before anything else happens. An estimated 800,000 workers harvest crops in the United States. About 46% of them are thought to be immigrants who entered the country illegally. The Associated Press says those numbers come from the U.S. Labor and Agriculture Departments. The Rice Fruit Company is the largest apple packing house in the eastern United States. It prepares apples from Adams County farms for shipping to buyers across the country. The Rice Fruit Company depends on immigrant labor to get the job done. The company employs some people from York Springs. It has 100 people working year-round and double that number at harvest time. Most come from Latin America.
No question about it, there is a great deal of anxiety.
David Rice is president of the Rice Fruit Company. He says that while his employees have the required documents to work legally, there is still a climate of fear.
It's really unfortunate because those people, you know, very, very fine workers and very, very fine people who are contributing a lot to the local economy and an immense amount to the apple economy particularly.
The fruit industry in Adams County earns $580 million a year, according to one study. It also provides almost 20,000 jobs. But if immigrant workers start to leave the area, Rice says his company will be forced to reduce operations. Rice says the company is exploring ways to reduce labor costs, including using more machinery. He said his company may also need to work with only the most profitable, efficient orchards. The Hollabaugh Fruit Market has pictures of its family and workers all over the walls. Kay Hollabaugh feels a personal connection to her workers.
When I watch on TV a Hispanic mom or dad pulled away from their kids, I can't deal with it. I don't get it. Taking my workforce away, remembering that I'm feeding everyone, along with the dairy farmers and the corn growers, and I just feel like our time and money could be so much better spent than tearing families apart and sending well-intended people home.
I'm Alice Bryant.
British actor Roger Moore, best known for playing James Bond, has died. He was 89 years old. His children said in a statement Tuesday that Moore died of cancer. The love with which he was surrounded in his final days was so great it cannot be quantified in words alone, they wrote. Moore gained worldwide fame for playing secret agent James Bond, also known as 007. He played Bond in seven films released between 1973 and 1985. They include Live and Let Die, The Spy Who Loved Me, and A View to a Kill. The films were based on the books by Ian Fleming. Before becoming Bond, Moore was known in the U.S. for his work in the popular TV series Maverick, which aired from 1957 to 1962. And in England, he starred in the long-running 1960s TV show The Saint. In that show, he played a hero who helped put wealthy criminals in jail while taking their fortunes. Moore was also one of the longest-serving Goodwill ambassadors for the United Nations Children's Fund. He had served in the position since 1991. He received UNICEF UK's First Lifetime Achievement Award in 2012. The award was later named the Roger Moore Lifetime Achievement Award. Moore said after accepting his UNICEF position, "I felt small, insignificant, and rather ashamed that I had traveled so much making films and ignored what was going on around me." UNICEF's executive director said in a statement that the world has lost one of its great champions for children, and the entire UNICEF family has lost a great friend. Fans and fellow actors remembered Moore on social media Tuesday. American actress Mia Farrow wrote on Twitter, "Few are as kind and giving as was Roger Moore. loving thoughts with his family and friends. He will be missed, too, by UNICEF. British filmmaker Edgar Wright wrote, "Rest in peace, Sir Roger Moore. My first Bond and one of the first actors that I loved as a kid. And a lovely, funny, warm person to boot. Farewell." And British actor Michael Caine wrote, "I am devastated today at losing one of my oldest and closest friends, Roger Moore. My world will never be the same again."
Universities and colleges in the United States are trying new programs for international students to increase enrollment and income. Some universities are experimenting with bringing international high school students to their campuses. These programs permit students to complete their high school diploma while earning college credit at the same time. One example of this model is at the University of Southern Maine, or USM. The program is called the International Academy. The school is expecting its first class of international high school students this fall. Joanna Evans is the director for the academy. The program is officially a boarding school on a university campus that serves 11th and 12th grade international high school students only.
The students will take classes at the University of Southern Maine to complete their high school diploma. However, because the classes are university level, the students will receive college credit at the same time. According to Evans, the students they recruit will have to be very strong. Their course schedule will be the same as taking only advanced placement courses. The goal is that by the time they complete their high school diploma at the academy, they will be ready to start college as a third-year college student. Their English language skills also must be strong. The academy looks for students with a minimum test of English as a foreign language, or TOEFL, score of 79, or a 6.5 on the International English Language Testing System, or IELTS. However, there are classes available to provide additional English language training when the students arrive if they need it. All incoming students at the academy are required to take a college writing class their first semester. If English is not their first language, they will take a class taught by instructors with a background in teaching students who speak English as a foreign language. Although they are only high school students, the expectations are the same as for college students. Evans says that faculty are not asked to change how they teach. Students need to be ready to take university classes, and that is the deal, Evans said.
When the University of Southern Maine first decided to create the academy, the goal was to increase the enrollment at the university. Enrollment was down at USM. Evans noted that any institution that offers a broad range of programming has to maintain enrollment to maintain programming. The university also wanted to increase school revenue. For state institutions in the U.S., in-state students pay much less than out-of-state or international students. schools across the U.S. have found that increasing their number of international students brings in more money. International students simply pay more to enroll. However, there are many academic benefits for students as well, Evans says. What's really important in terms of offering a high-quality education is helping students have the opportunity to work with people who come from different backgrounds, Evans said. Learning to work effectively with people who are different from themselves is a world skill, a life skill, and a 21st century skill. By increasing the diversity in lower-level university classes, Evans explains, the American students get experience with international students and vice versa. There are other schools in the U.S. with programs similar to the one at USM. Many community colleges in the state of Washington are now marketing their high school completion programs to international students. As with USM, these programs allow students to take courses at community college campuses to complete their high school degree and earn college credit at the same time. These high school completion programs have existed for American students for many years. However, community colleges have increased their marketing to international students only in recent years.
Another new trend is the presence of international academies. These schools are now setting up campuses in the U.S., but not necessarily for American students. One such school is the Keio Academy in Purchase, New York. It was created in 1990 by the Keio Gijuku, or Keio Private School System, of Japan. Keio Gijuku also operates Keio University, Japan's first private institution, as well as one of its most respected. Keio Academy is chartered by the Japanese Ministry of Education, Culture, Sports, Science, and Technology. But it is also accredited by the New York State Association of Independent Schools in the United States. Eileen Gallagher is an English teacher at Keio Academy. She said the school was primarily created to meet the needs of Japanese students living overseas. This means it is still considered to be part of the Japanese school system, although it is in the U.S. Americans are allowed to attend, but they would need a qualifying level of Japanese language first. However, the debate over immigration in the United States can have an effect on foreign students wanting to visit the country. International student applications are down by 40% across USM, Evans said. All that adds up to a very challenging year for enrolling students. It's affected enrollment in institutions across the country. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Phil Dierking.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.